Father, we do exalt you.
We praise you, Father.
Father, you are worthy.
We lift you
of our praise and our glory, for you are a good and a loving God. And Father, we are humbled to be your servants. Lord, we're honored to be in your house. And Father, we are blessed to be your children. Lord, now as we open up your word, I pray that today, Holy Spirit, you would renew, you would encourage, you'd strengthen, you would heal. Lord, you'd give victory today as we learn how to break down the walls in our lives. Father, we thank you, and very humbly, Father, we tell you we love you, we need you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. The Chastain girls are here. Isn't that awesome? Red and Bonnie are both here. That's so awesome. Hey, let me ask you guys, what do you think of the new projectors and stuff? Are they awesome? Really see good. I didn't realize how kind of fading the other ones were until we got the new one. So awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, we're continuing our study through the Word of God. We're in the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 6. But I also need you to find, if you would, and locate in your Bible, in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, if you put that up there. And we're actually going to look at that one, John chapter 8 first. So go ahead and open to there. I've got it marked somewhere. There it is. When you find John 8, just say amen. I sound like most of you. Praise the Lord. This is going to kind of give us a lead into our study in Joshua's chapter 6. So if you read with me, I'm in John's Gospel in the New Testament. I'm going to start reading at verse 30. I'm going to read verse 30, 31, and 32. A very familiar portion of Scripture and a very powerful portion of Scripture. And it says, the Word of God says, "And as he," being Jesus, "spoke these words, many believed in him." Now notice verse 31 and 32. "And Jesus said to the Jews who believed, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" Now verse 32 is one that we put on coffee mugs and on bumper stickers and we repeat and all that stuff. But we kind of take it away from verse 31. But this is what verse 32 says. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Right? Now, what is the truth that they will know? Well, the truth that they will know, we learn in verse 31, is that if they're abiding in the Word of God, if they're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Word will work truth. Then the Word will give freedom, right? See, a lot of people, they want to know Jesus, but they're not willing to be a disciple. There's a difference between just knowing who Jesus is and being a true disciple. A true disciple is someone who has committed their life to the Lord and they're a diligent student of the Bible and they're following Jesus Christ 24/7, right? It's that, when we have that commitment, that we will know the Word of God, the truth of God, and that's what will set us free. Amen? Now let's turn to our scripture text in the Old Testament book of Joshua, and we're going to learn, this is a great study. It's a great study about the walls of Jericho, and I think this is probably one of the more famous stories of the Old Testament, and it's just a great thing, and we're going to learn a lot of fantastic truths about this, because the walls of Jericho represent the walls that we have in our lives. We can call them walls, we can call them barriers, we can call them stops, we can call them hindrances, but we all have walls, right? Those obstacles that are holding us back, those obstacles, those things that aren't allowing us to possess the full promises and the blessings of God, right? Well, today in this scripture passage, God tells us how we can have a breakthrough. You guys need a breakthrough, right? You have that something in your life that's just keeping you from possessing the promises of God that he's given to us? Because remember, they have crossed the Jordan River, and all this is a picture of our life. We have come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they've got to go into the promised land, and their first stop is the invincible city of Jericho. Well, we're going to read this here and take a look at it, and I think you guys will be blessed. I know that I was. So let's start reading, then we'll kind of break it down. You guys with me? Joshua 6? Let's start reading at verse 1. "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once, and this you shall do for 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all of the people shall shout with a great shout. Then," underline, circle, highlight somehow that word, "then the walls of the city will fall flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord.' And so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going round it once, and then they came into the camp, and they lodged in the camp that night." Let's stop reading there, and let's get into this study. This is, like I say, a very interesting study, but we're going to learn how God will give us a breakthrough. Notice, if you would, first of all, the historical part of this. Jericho is the oldest city in the world. Now, depending upon what study place you go to, they say that the walls of Jericho were anywhere between 50 to 100 feet tall. That's a big wall, right? And a minimum of 20 foot wide. That's a thick wall, right? It was double walled, so there was two sets of walls. It was known as a symbol of power and of strength. It was known to be invincible. Jericho was the crowning achievement of men, but yet it was the first thing that Israel had to encounter in the promised land. And once again, in our study, let us remember that all of us have walls, those barriers that hold us back from walking into the joy, the peace, and the blessings that God has for us. Our walls can be spiritual. Our walls can be physical. They can be emotional. They can be financial. Walls can be some of the walls that people deal with in their lives that are keeping them from happiness and holiness, are the walls of loneliness, jealousy, health issues. It can be a relationship, a loss. It can even be religious or rejection. Ministering, speaking to anyone today? We need breakthroughs for these walls that are holding us back. You may be here today and you might need a breakthrough in your marriage. You might need a breakthrough in your health or your finances, your job, your school, maybe even your spiritual life. Maybe you have an emotional tie that's not healthy and it needs to be broke. Well, today God's going to give you a breakthrough. I saw something very interesting. I was going through all these study things, and you ever read something, see something, hear something, and it's down the road a little ways and it kind of clicks in and you go, "Oh yeah, huh?" Then you can't find it. Well, I was doing all this stuff about the walls of Jericho, and something didn't jump out at me until I already passed it, and then I couldn't find it again, but I think this is what it said. This is what it said. It might not be the exact words. This study site said this about the walls of Jericho. "Man built the massive, invincible walls of Jericho, and no man could tear it down." I got thinking about that. Sometimes we build our own walls, don't we? Sometimes we construct our own barriers that are stopping us. We use the bricks of bitterness or the bricks of unforgiveness. We use the bricks of doubt or brick of debt. We construct our own walls, right? You know, we're quick to blame someone else, but sometimes, friends, we need to be honest and realize that maybe we built our own walls, amen? Right? Sometimes we use bricks and we're not even sure what they are. But we know they're messing with us, right? You guys have never counseled, I guess. Pastor Clay, something's wrong. What's wrong? Well, I don't know, but it's wrong. Well, that's, you know, we're not putting down anything. There's probably a spiritual issue there. But we have these bricks, right? And friends, you guys know I always talk to you in love, even though sometimes I'm kind of gruff. Right? I'm gonna be flat out right up with you from the front. If all you're trying to do is remodel your wall, you're never going to have victory. You're never going to have success. Some people want to paint their walls instead of tear their walls down. You know, some people are happy in their misery. Why did the disciples go back to the boat when it seemed like Jesus let them down? What'd they do? They went back fishing, right? Don't pick the net back up. Go forward. Does that make sense? You guys ready for the study? That's just kind of the intro. Today, God is going to give us instructions of how to have victory. This is awesome. Here's my actual opening statement. I'm going to read it as I wrote it down. Here's my opening statement. You guys ready? Take notes? You don't have to. Just listen. There is no wall that God cannot knock down, and there's no situation that God can't take care of. Isn't that great? That's the whole summary of today's lesson. There's no addiction God can't break. There's no hurt God can't heal. There's no relationship God can't restore. God can take care of your walls. Well, let's look at this. Notice in verse 1, if you would, please. Now Jericho was securely shut up. You ever feel like your situation, there's just no hope? I mean, there's no way out of this thing. It is securely shut up. Trust me, God has got a breakthrough for you. Also, if you would, for the overhead, would you put 1 Samuel 29:6? This no one goes out, no one goes in. This is the military term speaking that they were ready for war. Check this out. It says, and then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out and you're coming in with me, and the army is good in my sight. So that phraseology in the Bible is a term for being alert militarily. Jericho was on high alert, right? They're ready for a fight. How many of you know your walls aren't going to just lay down flat for you? Right? But also we're going to see here that your victory is not in yourself. It's in God. Right? So here is the first point if you're taking notes. If you're not, do it anyway. Point number one, you have to confront it in order to conquer it. Ignoring your trouble isn't going to remove it. It might be unpleasant dealing with it, but 30 minutes of uncomfortable conversation with a person will save you 30 years of unpleasantness. Can I get an amen? So you have to confront it in order to conquer it. You can't ignore it. Notice also in verse 1, the reason it was shut up is, it says, because of the children of Israel. Once again, I'm going to be straight up with you guys. There are going to be times in your life that just because you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are going to cut you off, cut you out, ignore you, and not give you any grace. Right? Just because you're a follower of Christ. Not because of anything else, but because you claim the name of Jesus Christ, because you live your life according to the Word of God, they're going to put up a wall. They're not going to give you any leeway, right? Just because you're a child of God. That's why they shut up the city, because of the children of Israel. Here's our second point, if you're taking notes. Make sure you get your marching orders from God. You notice, isn't this the weirdest military exercise you've ever heard? Send in the priest. They don't have weapons. They got trumpets. Send in the gold box. We didn't use the gold box when we beat Og, the king of Bashan, on the other side of the river. Right? You're going to conquer this city. How are we going to do it, God? We'll walk around it. Make sure your marching orders are from God and not Dr. Phil. I could name other people, but this is a family get-together. Number three, if you're taking notes, understand, friends, that we fight from victory, not for victory. Look what God told him. I have, this verse 2, I have given Jericho into your hand. I have given the king to you. I have given the fighting men unto you. Some great scriptures here. Romans 8:38 is awesome. Yet in all these things, not just a few, in all these things you are more than conquerors. How can you be more than a conqueror? Because you get the spoils afterwards. You're more than conquerors through Christ, through God, who loves us. Isn't that great to know that God loves us? And he makes us conquerors. That's why we can have victory. And then Hebrews 2:14-15 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What this scripture is saying here, friends, is the fact that because Jesus died and rose again, he won the victory over our enemy. And he gave that victory to us. Isn't that awesome? Then 1 John 3:8 tells us this. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we just read in Hebrews how he did that through his death, burial, and resurrection. Isn't that cool? So friends, we're going to fight battles, but we fight them from the position of victory, not for victory. God says, I have given this to you. Also in verse 3, notice something a little different. For breakthrough, please, did you notice that this is not a military operation? It was a religious procession. Right? God didn't tell them, build siege ramps, build catapults, get you a big old ladder. No, he says, get you some trumpets, and not military trumpets. Remember in our study, for military, they were told to make silver trumpets. But for honoring, worshiping God, they had to use the ram's horns. Here they're taking God's trumpets against their enemies, not the war trumpets, right? And so this is not a military exercise. Friends, we need to understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things, right? When you come against the spiritual things. And friends, we need to understand that the spirit world uses humans, but we need to see past the flesh and blood to see the source of it, right? So here they are going. Did you notice, did you notice here the number 7? Send 7 priests, 7 trumpets for 7 days, 7 laps on the last day. In our study of Numbers, we know that 7 is the number, God's number of completion and perfection, right? Young men say, I'm looking for a woman that's a 10. I tell them, get you 7. Because that's God's perfection, right? So, ladies, if a guy says you're a 7, don't get mad. Just say thank you. Point number 4, we better move on. We find this in verse 10, and this is very important. Very important. I just titled point number 4 is shut up. Isn't that spiritual? Look at verse 10. And Joshua commanded the people, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth. Now, friends, a lot of times when we find ourselves in a spiritual struggle, when we find ourselves facing these big walls and things like that, and again, please hear my heart. You always know when someone says, hear my heart, they're about to sting you, right? But hear my heart. Sometimes you need to shut up. Because we're quick to, Cody. Because sometimes we're quick to complain, right? I'm the only one ever going through this. Why won't God do this for me? Why don't we? Mm-hmm. 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 Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Shut up. Now, we're going to get to the talking part in a minute. Because he tells them, when I tell you to shout, then you shout. Here's a very important spiritual lesson that it's taken me a long time to learn, and that is that the time for shouting always follows a time of quietness with the Lord. after you've had quiet time with the Lord, and he's given you the instructions. Where did Joshua get these instructions? Well, we read them in chapter 5. Remember when he had to take his shoes off because he was scared, and he said, the angel was there with the sword, and he said, are you for us or for the enemies? Remember, he says, I'm not here, dude, I'm here to take this deal over. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. That's when Joshua got these instructions. Friends, it's when we're bearing our souls out there. Our shoes are off. We're on holy ground. That's when God gives us the instructions, right? That's when we can go in and proceed. Is this making sense? So sometimes we just need to be quiet in front of the Lord and let the Lord talk. We need to not question what God is doing, but praise God that he's doing something. Training our tongue is a hard thing to do, isn't it? It takes discipline. Learning to be silent at the right time and learning when to speak at the right time is hard to do, but it is a secret to success in our spiritual walk. For the overhead, please, Psalms 46:10. Great little psalm. Here it says, be still and know that I am God, and I will exalt thee among the nations, and I will exalt and will be exalted in the earth. This part of being still is not just physical movement, but also the movement of the mouth. Sometimes we need to just chill out, let God be God, and let him exalt us. Isn't that great? Here's another aspect of this no noise thing. This is the part that I think a lot of people miss, and it causes a lot of people's downfall. Is visualize the fact they're walking around this city, right? They're not saying a word. But in war, they could hear the mocking and the sneering of the Canaanites yelling down at them. Friends, in your spiritual walk, you'll be mocked. You'll be discouraged. You'll have people tell you you're crazy. They're going around with apparently no fruits of their labor. Right? Nothing happening. The voice of the enemy yelling things at them. And they're just walking around keeping their mouth shut. Friends, here's a spiritual lesson that the TV preachers won't tell you. And that's this. That the majority of our walk and our Christian experience are days of maintenance, not miraculous. Now, the miraculous is awesome, right? But the days of maintenance is necessary. God took Jeremiah down to the potter's house. Remember that? And the potter's working, modeling the clay. I just want to say my name. It's in the Bible. Sorry. But what's the potter doing? He's molding that vessel, right? And God gave us this great lesson saying, man, this is my people and this is what I do. What was that chunk of clay doing? It was just spinning round and round and round and round. But without it realizing it, it was in the potter's hands. Friends, as they're walking around that wall, as we're walking our daily life, here we go Monday, here we go Tuesday, here we go Wednesday, we're hearing the voices, right? Trust me, God is doing something. You may not hear him, you may not see him, you may not feel him, but God is working. Isn't that cool? What do you think is going on in Jericho while these guys are walking around? Don't you know that first night when the generals were talking, they were kind of freaked out a little bit? Here they come. Well, all they did was play music and left. They're scared of us, right? They saw it was helpless. Next day, they're back. Maybe now they're getting a little freaked out over it. Well, they left again. Day three, they're back. They're not. You know what song they were playing on the trumpet? When the saints come marching in. I don't know if that's true or not, but. My note here was listen to the voice of God, not to the voice of the doubters, right? Verse 15. Well, let's read. I stopped reading at verse 12. Let's read 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpet, and the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priest continued blowing the trumpet. So we got the soldiers, we got the priest playing trumpets, we got the ark, and then we got more soldiers. That's their line, and they're going through there. Verse 14, and the second day they marched around the city once, and they returned to the camp. So they did this for 6 days. For 6 days. Friends, here's the point. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be obedient to God every day, not just Sunday. Ooh, that stings some people. It requires discipline, and it requires consistency. A majority of Christians do not have consistency in their walk, right? We need to have that. For the overhead, would you put 1 Corinthians 15:58? This is kind of cool. Paul tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Check this out. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You stay consistent. You may not see the fruits of your labor, but you stay consistent. You keep marching. You keep going on. You keep playing that trumpet. You keep your mouth shut when you have to keep your mouth shut. Keep it open when it needs to be open, right? Understand there's going to be people coming against you, but you stay consistent, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You may not be seeing the fruits of your labor yet, but day 7, lap 7 is coming. Right? With every crucifixion, there's a resurrection. Isn't that awesome? Here's a little help. For those days that you seem like you're just walking around in circles and nothing's happening, here's a little help. Look for the red rope. Remember, Rahab put the red rope in her window, and every time they made a lap around there, they're hearing the voice of the enemy. They might be thinking, they're looking at the size of these walls thinking, we got a trumpet and that's it, right? It may look overwhelming, but every time they made a lap, there's this red rope. And they'd tell themselves, you know, God's doing something in there. Friends, sometimes we need to just look at the red ropes in our lives. You keep being faithful, you keep marching on, and understand that God is doing a work. You may not see it right now, but He's doing a work. Also realize that what God's doing affects more than just you, right? He's doing a great, great work. Let's keep going here. Where did I leave off? Verse 15? But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times. Here's the big day. 7 times. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. Now check it out, verse 16. And on the 6th lap, they gave up. No, it doesn't say that, right? You know, don't stop on lap 5 if God tells you 7. The 7th lap finally happened. The priest blew the trumpets, and then Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Isn't that awesome? Got a great scripture for shouting. This isn't just making noise. Psalm 47:1, would you please put that up? Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. They weren't shouting just to make noise. They were shouting the victory shout. And the walls hadn't even started shaking yet. Paul and Silas were singing songs of praises. Then the walls shook, right? When we shout, when we make a noise, we're not just making noise. We're praising God. Now, earlier, they were told not to say anything. Now they're told to shout. Now it's great scripture. Great scripture. Moms and dads need to memorize this to teach their kids when their kids are little. Ecclesiastes 3:7, check this out. This is the great, there's a time for everything. You probably know the song. There's a time to tear down and a time to sow. Check it out. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Friends, we need to go to God and learn the discernment and learn the lesson of when are we to keep silent and when are we to speak. Because there's a time for both, right? And when we speak, there's supposed to be the voice of victory, not the voice of defeat. Make sense? Let's keep looking here. Before we move on to the next section, which begins in verse 17, let me kind of do a little review here, and then we'll get into the next section because it's pretty cool. But in kind of a little review of the first half, for victory, for walls to fall down in our life, the very first thing is we must have a right or a proper relationship with God. We saw that last chapter 5, right? They crossed the river. They were recircumcised. They had the Passover. They corrected their relationship with God. First and foremost, we must have a total submission to the Lord if you want to have victory in the Lord, right? The second thing we saw in our chapter here, chapter 6, is we saw that we had to wait on the Lord. We had to trust God's timing, right? He said, you do this for 7 days, then I will take care of it. The third thing we saw in verse 3 and 4 is the walking part. This fits with the waiting on God. Okay, we have to have a faith walk. We have to have a trust walk with God. But we need to remember that while we're waiting and walking, God is working. Right? For the overhead, please, Hebrews 11:30. Great faith chapter. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Okay, it wasn't the shout. It wasn't the trumpet. It wasn't even the ark. It was the fact that they had faith in God to get up every morning and go out there and walk. Right? Friends, our victory comes in a steady, sure faith walk. Right? And then fourthly, we saw no talking until we're supposed to. Once again, there are a multitude of scriptures that speak to us on the power of the tongue and the importance of what we say, what we don't say, all that stuff. We looked at the Ecclesiastes 1, all that stuff. But now we move into a new section that a lot of people don't quite get in this chapter. And it's verses 17 and 18. And here's how I titled this. And that is that this portion of Scripture teaches us we're not only that we need to be watchful after a victory, just as before a battle. Up to this, everything was before. Now the walls have fallen. And check this out. Verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she had hidden the messengers that were sent. And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. And when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. We're going to see that next week. Verse 19, but all the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron, they are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and then the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, ox and sheep, and donkey with the edge of the sword. Hey, right next to verse 21, write Genesis 15:16. I'll talk more about it, but I want you to write this down because this verse always messes people up. But just make a note there next to this verse, Genesis 15:16. And let us keep reading. Verse 22, but Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all of her relatives, and they left them outside of the camp of Israel. This is a ritual quarantine that the law said. Verse 24, but they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers of whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. We'll stop there real quick. Interesting portion of Scripture. Let's talk about this. In the book of Leviticus, in both chapter 23 and chapter 27, the Lord teaches us this interesting offering called a first fruit offering. Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 10. It's a long portion of Scripture. We're not going to turn there, but write this down. I encourage you to read it. Right after the Passover, Israel was instructed to celebrate this thing called a first fruits offering. First fruit offering was just that. It was an offering of the first of the produce that they grew. If they were ranchers, if they had sheep or something like that, their first fruit was the offsprings of the animal. Whatever whatever you produce, whether plant, animal, or what have you, the first of it, right off the top, belonged to God. couple reasons for that. The first reason was you were acknowledging God and thanking Him for allowing you to be able to do this and for Him providing. And the second thing was you were telling God, I trust you for the rest of it. Okay? So, God, I acknowledge that you've provided this, and I'm also acknowledging that you're going to see it through. So, I give you the first fruits, right? Very special. The tithe is a first fruit. The tithe, we're instructed to give the first of our income to the Lord. That's hard to do sometimes, right? But God says, I will bless what's rest. Jericho was the first fruits of Canaan, their first victory. Every other city that they go to, they clear out the whole land. They get to keep everything, right? But they acknowledged God at the beginning, and they got to keep everything after that. Now, I told you to write down the Genesis scripture. A lot of people get mad and say, what kind of loving God would make them go in there and kill all the men, women, children, and the dogs and the cats and all the cute pets and stuff like that? Genesis, that scripture I gave you, tells us why. God had given them 400 years to repent from their wickedness. And they didn't repent. So God is a merciful God. What do we as humans do to dogs that have rabies? Out of mercy, we put them down, right? Why? Because it just gets worse and it ruins them, right? Well, that's what sin does to humans. Sin is a cruel, cruel, cruel disease. Starts out fun and games, and we think it's cool. But next thing you know, you're addicted, and you can't even recognize your own family's face when you're laying in the gutter. Sin is a horrible, horrible condition. And these people had crossed this line. God says it this way, that their cup of iniquity was filled up. You see, we have a loving, patient God, but He's got a limit. And the people crossed the limit. So God says, I'm going to clean this up. That's why it was done, friends. And it was an act of mercy. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people struggle with that. But here's the great wall that's before all of us. And that great wall is the wall of sin. Man couldn't tear that wall down. God had to do it, right? The walls of Jericho. You can't tear your own sin wall down. People try in vain and they drive themselves crazy trying to heal themselves of an addiction. Man's, please don't misunderstand me. Please don't think I'm cruel and all that kind of stuff. But there are organizations like AA, you know, which is man's attempt to try to correct a problem. And you ever notice in those situations, the first thing they start out is they confess that they're an addict. You know, now this is all just for show, but they say something like this: "Hi, I'm Clay, and I'm an alcoholic." Well, what kind of help is that? I'm Clay, and God has set me free. I'm Clay, and the power of the Holy Spirit's cleaned me up. Right? You see the difference? We can't knock our own walls down, but God can. Right? And our wall of sin, man tried. They built a tower in the plains of Shinar. We called it the Tower of Babel, trying to get to heaven on their own. Man, false religion, is always trying to knock that wall of sin down. Man can't knock that wall down. But Jesus Christ came, and He died on the cross, and He knocked the sin wall down. When the walls of Jericho were knocked down, the people had to then enter the city. Friends, God has paid the price of your sin. Now we need to enter. We need to get rid of the sin. That's what part of repentance, right? You see the picture? And we need to possess the promises God has given us. Isn't that great? Does that make sense, you guys? This doomed to destruction, God isn't being selfish. He's just demanding, I am God, and I am to be honored as God. I'm to have the first of your life. You have to trust me with the rest of your life. Can you do that today? Another scripture, Malachi 3, 8 through 11. It's kind of lengthy, but it's an important scripture for us. in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, God is confronting man with some problems that man is having. And remember, when God confronts us with an issue, it's because he wants to help us, not because he wants to crush us, right? We're talking about this first fruit in giving. God asks a question, will a man rob God? Well, they go, and he says, you robbed me. But you say, how can we rob God? How? And here's what God says, in tithes and in offerings, you are cursed with a curse. Didn't God just say here that if you take what's mine, you'll be accursed? Friends, we bring our own curses on us because we don't trust God. That's the simple bottom line to it. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And this is the only time God challenges us to test him in anything. He says, try me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out from you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. You know, the last time God opened the windows of heaven, he flooded the earth. He's got big windows. I'm pour some of that on me, God. Not the water. But you know what I'm saying? God's just challenged me in this. See if I won't do it. You won't contain it. That there will not be. Blah, blah, blah. And I will rebuke the devourer. You ever feel like you're living from paycheck to paycheck and you just can't get ahead? There's a money devourer. We call them teenagers. No. That was a joke. That was a joke. There's a devourer of your money. And God says, I'll rebuke him. How many of you are doing your own rebuking? I rebuke you, devil, from taking my money. But you'll buy, you fill in the blanket, QT. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. God is the one who makes us prosperous. God's the reason we're blessing. But we have to obey him, right? That's a hard lesson for people to learn, but once you get a hold of it, man, you'll never let it go. Nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in its field, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that great? That's great. But we have to honor God. And then God honors us. So that's what he's doing here in Jericho when he says, you got to destroy all this stuff, all the gold, silver, all the iron, all that stuff like that. That goes to me. Now, next chapter, we're going to see where the people, one guy, broke what the rules that Malachi was talking about and brings a curse upon himself, his family, and the nation. So we'll learn about that next week. But, friends, can I ask you guys this? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, don't raise your hands. But I feel pretty confident everyone in here has given their heart to the Lord and trusted the Lord. Y'all going to heaven? Okay. Those of you who are parents, did you dedicate your children to the Lord? Yeah? Okay. If we can trust our own soul to the Lord and our children to the Lord, how come we can't trust our money to the Lord? I'm just going to leave that with you guys. Let's keep reading. Let's finish up the chapter here because you guys are getting fidgety. Every time I talk about money, people fidget. Verse 26. This is awesome. Then Joshua charged them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest, he shall set up the gate. So they clear the city out. They do all that stuff. And Joshua pronounces a curse over the city so that it would not be rebuilt. Now, guess what happens? Whenever God lays something down, man is dumb enough to try to beat him, right? 500 years later, we got this guy named Hillel. Would you put 1 Kings 16:34 on the overhead? He decides, you know, Jericho is nice. I'm going to rebuild Jericho. Did I give that to you? I didn't give it to you? Well, let's just turn there. 1 Kings, chapter 16. Or if you don't want to turn there, I will. I'm almost there. 1 Kings 16:34 says this. In his day, Hillel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Shegub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. 500 years later, this guy decides he's going to rebuild Jericho, and guess what? Cost him the life of two of his sons. It's times like that that I'm glad I'm the middle boy. Anyway, let's go back and finish up the chapter. Verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all of the country. So here this chapter kind of ends on a high note, but we're going to find it next week in chapter 7 that that things did not go as planned, because one of the people, one of the soldiers, kind of broke the rules, and whenever you break the rules, it never ends well. So we're going to stop there for today. Did you guys learn anything? Did it help anybody today? Well, today as we go into our worship team, join me up here, as we go into our altar time, today can be your day for breakthrough. Today can be your day that wall or walls, plural, that you've been dealing with, that you feel like you've been circling and getting nowhere with. Today's the day that God wants to break that down. You want that happen in your life? Let's stand, please. And he wants to give you victory. Please remember our points. I think one of the biggest is, I can't remember if it's point two or three, but the point is to make sure that we get our marching orders from God. Scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. A lot of us try to and want to do things our own way. When God has given us His way in His Word, all we have to do is go in and get it. Right? So I want to challenge you today, if you don't have a daily Bible reading in your plan, in your life, can I encourage you today to make that commitment to read your Bible every day, to meditate on it every day, and to obey it every day? And friends, you'll begin to see the walls fall down. You'll begin to see those bricks crumble, and you'll begin to experience the blessings of God. Sound good? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for freedom. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for victory. Father, I want to pray that today, Lord, you'd give each of us a strategy that we need to have victory. Lord, today would you knock down walls, whether we've constructed them ourselves and trapped ourselves in, or whether someone else built them and we're a victim of them. Father, today would you grant freedom. Father, for the lonely, would you reveal yourself as the friend who sticks closer than a brother. To the bitter, would you reveal yourself as the sweetness of our souls. Father, whatever it is, Lord, we know that you are the answer. So humbly we come before you, acknowledging our weakness and your greatness, and seeking you and for thy will to be done in our life. For we pray these things now in Jesus' name, and together we all would say, Amen.